Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It is the greatest story ever told. The story that we find of the child born. The story told that in 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who is said to be able to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from Nazareth to Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and lined and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and got into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Once again, let's go to Bethlehem. See this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things he had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's an amazing story about God coming down. As John puts it, the word can come restoring John's account of Christmas. And through all of those words describing the greatest story ever told, John simply says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. He moves down and says the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. Made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace. John says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. There's so much packed into this one sentence. There's so much developed in what John says, that the Word became flesh. The Word, the one spoken of long before, the one prophesied, the one promised, the one longed for, the one someday is thinking that had been forgotten. But we're reminded in Luke's account that the angel tells Mary, no word from the Lord, but of the faith. And so the Word became flesh. Why did the Word become flesh? Why did an almighty, all-powerful, all-creating God put on the flesh of mankind? In Hebrews, the Christmas story was one of the most contentious points in the whole gospel. They couldn't see how God would really be made man. They could see God coming down, they could see God appearing, but they couldn't see God truly becoming man. One of the most amazing things about the Christmas story is that God didn't just come down, but God put on, came flesh, made his body among us. And so Hebrews chapter 2 says a reasoning for why God had to do this. Hebrews chapter 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. You understand that Jesus shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery For surely it is not the angels he helps, but angels' descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them. Fully human in every way. Fully human in every way. Christmas story that God became flesh. That Jesus took on humanity and all that trouble. All the pain. All of the joy. All the times of struggle, the temptation, the overcoming, the confined image of the Creator. Christ put that on. Fully human in every way. He says in Hebrews, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. And that he may make atonement for the sins of people, because he himself suffered and he was when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. It says God had to be made flesh because of mercy. To be merciful. He was able to know, not just from creation, but from experience, what we're going through. You see, in the Christmas story, Jesus comes down and he walks through and he lives through a human life. I compare this to allergies. Does anybody in here ever have allergies? For all of you not raising your hands, you can see somebody who has allergies and you can say, oh, I'm sorry that you're going through that. But most of the time with allergies, and there's no fever, there's nothing that would keep you home from school. You're just congested and miserable. And if you see somebody going through allergies, you can say you're sorry, but if you've been through allergies before, you can be merciful to them. And Jesus put on flesh, and so he was able to see what we're going through, and he was able to be merciful. He was able to see where we've come through, what we've been through, and he was able to be our merciful high priest. He's also able to be our faithful high priest. You see, he walked knowing his people. It says that he was appointed to be a merciful and faithful high priest. A high priest was someone who came out of the people to be a representative before God. Jesus was the one who was able to do that because he was able to walk in what people had been through. He was able to walk with people and he was able to go to God on behalf of the people. He was incarnate, fully human. He had to be able to go and stand before the holy, perfect, and righteous fear of God. See, we often emphasize that we are supposed to be a representation of Jesus. But how often do we recognize that the Christmas story is about Jesus becoming a representation of us so he can represent us as the Father? Jesus came down and he was born. He was the Word made flesh so he could be merciful, so he could be a faithful high priest, so that he could know our suffering. Jesus went through the hard times for you and for I. You see, the joy on Christmas Day. But we miss sometimes during the season a small verse in the middle of John that says Jesus Christ. When Jesus became man, he not only took on the physical aspects, the flesh and the blood and the skin, but he took on the emotion. He recognized the hurt of loss. He felt the sting of betrayal. He knew what it meant. Truly bound
Jesus knew all of this. Jesus knew temptation. He tells from one of the peaks of what Jesus goes through, when Jesus is baptized, when he's brought out of the water, when we see this scene that God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," the Spirit resting on him, Jesus is then led out into the wilderness. And Jesus came and he was tempted like you and I, to fulfill physical needs, to fulfill emotional needs, to fulfill the need to be admired, even to fulfill the need to skip over God's mission for him, to gratify what he longed for instantaneously. Jesus went through temptation, and so he can do it. Lastly, Jesus came and he was made a proper sacrifice. Jesus came as a baby boy, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Angels appeared glorifying this baby boy who was to come, but there was a plan for this baby boy. This one without fault, without blemish, who lived a perfect life, who did not sin, who didn't have any stain, but a lamb who was sacrificed. Jesus put on the life. Back in the original reading to tabernacle. the place that God had made become a dwelling place for himself among his people. That only happened through Jesus Christ, and he could become his tabernacle. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, it reminds us of the responsibility of being a tabernacle. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own, you are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We have a responsibility of being the temple of God that Jesus Christ purchased with his death, resurrection, with his sacrifice, with his birth, that we would be made the temples and tabernacles of God. But that not only comes with a responsibility, but that comes with a glorious and radiant presence that God is with us. In Exodus chapter 40, we see what happens when God comes in to a tabernacle. It says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." It says, "Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. In all the travels of the Israelites, wherever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle day and night, and the fire was in the cloud by night from the sight of all the Israelites during this travel." This was something that was seen by all, that was shared by all, that was known by all, that God was with them. In 1 Kings chapter 8, it talks about when the priests went through from the holy place, and they built this temple. The cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. And the glory of the Lord filled his temple. And now, because of Christmas, because of the baby in the manger, because of the life that lived, death died, the resurrection that happens. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues of the Spirit made of them. You see what's happening here. What's happening here is that what Christ promised, that when he went away, that his advocate would come. And his temple, his tabernacle, his dwelling, Christ has made each and every one of us his tabernacle. When Jesus came down to be made human, to put on flesh, and to make his dwelling among us, it wasn't just for a time. It was so that his people forever could be his dwelling place. And the greatest gift of all is that we now have the opportunity for a relationship. The greatest story ever told. The story of a man who lived a perfect life, who sat down with those he loved, who washed their feet, who broke bread, who shared a cup, who that night was betrayed, tried, led up the hill, crucified. That man died that day. He was buried. The stone was rolled in front of a tomb. He was alive. The story that 3 days later, that stone was rolled away. That standing before those he had walked with, he had taught with, he had shared with, he had broke bread with, in front of those he stood alive, shared with them that he again was with them. We go back to one word. The word of Christmas. The angel says, quoting from the book of Isaiah, Jesus will be called Emmanuel. Means God with us. The word of Christmas is Emmanuel. Jesus came down, he was born. The word came to life and raised down among us. And now, for each and every one of us today, God came to be with us. He has opened that door, he has made a way. The promise made from birth, this baby born, would reign. If you want to know what that means this Christmas season, why should you come? Talk about God. What will you pray for? What will you pray for? God, thank you for your story. It's the greatest story ever told. The story of a baby boy who came and was born to angels of God. Maybe boy that grew favor with God and man. Maybe who would calm the seas, who would walk on water, who would feed